I want to go to Matthew chapter 25. I got to tell you that this message that I'm going to preach this morning was not a message that I was going to preach this morning. I actually had a message prepared since last week when I was out of town. But on the way back home last night when I was on the plane, I had this urge to read the Bible, but I was kind of hesitant because I knew that when that urge comes, it's because God's going to change the message, and I didn't want God to change the message. But Matthew 25 really spoke to me just last night. Let's pray. Father, I just pray for this word that your Spirit just poured into me last night, Lord. Father, as we come together, we just need to hear from you. Let us leave this service today with a newfound perspective of who you are. And I just ask that you would speak through me and to us all, whether here present or online, in our podcast, wherever, Lord. I pray that whoever is listening now will open up their hearts and receive with gladness your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Matthew 25, verse 14, and this is what the word of God says. As Jesus was talking, he gives this parable, and he says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey, talking about heaven. He called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, that's a measure of money. So to one he gave 5, can we all say 5? To one he gave 5, to another he gave 2, can we say 2? And to another he gave 1, can we say 1? Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work. He put it to work. He put it to work. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, hey, make it work. Come on, people. Make it work. He put it to work. The man that received 5 talents went at once, did not hesitate, and he put his money to work and he gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2, and he gained 2 more. But the man that received the 1 talent went off, he dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the servant returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 brought the other 5. Master, he said, you gave me 5 talents, and I'm giving you 5 more. The master replied, well done, my good and faithful servant. Don't you just want God to tell you that in the end of this life? Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with the few things, and I will put you in charge now of many things. Come and share my master's happiness. So he had happiness in his life. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. I've gained 2 more. He replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with the few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in my happiness. So he goes and now he's sharing in the master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, and here comes the excuses. I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid and I went out and I hid the talents on the ground. See, here, it belongs to you. The master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that the harvest where I have scattered the seed. And I'm going to stop right there. You wicked and lazy servant. We know what's interesting. If you're all looking for happiness, the greatest happiness you'll ever find in your life is serving the master. That's it. And what's interesting to me is that the master gave them each a measure, each a talent. 1, 5, 1, 2, 1, 1. And as they put it to work and they gained more, they gave it back to the master. They thought it was over. They said, okay, here, master, you're back home. Here's what you've given me. I doubled it. Here, take it all. And then to their amazement, the master said, no, that's not it. You see, what I gave you was just a test to see how I can bless you. Are you all with me this morning? What I gave you, when you put it to work and you made it multiply, that was just a test. And now I'm going to put you in charge of more and come share in my happiness. They never saw it coming. They weren't expecting this, but the master gave them more than they asked, more than they imagined. Doesn't that sound familiar to you? Because the Bible said God is able to do far more than we even ask or imagine according to His riches. But here's the thing about this. If you're looking for happiness, if you want God to give you more, and you want God to bless you more, and you want to go to the next level, and you want God to just give you all these blessings, here's what you need to know. You have to put to work where you're at right now, because it is a test from God. It is a test from God. God is trying to see how you're going to handle what He's given you. And they went away happy, not knowing that what the master was doing was a test. I mean, test them to see if they could handle what I'm going to give them. And I hear it all the time as a pastor. Pastor, I just want God to do more in my life. But you're failing the test of the less. So here's why. I was reading this passage of scripture, and I was like, when I was reading it, it shocked me. And this is why. Because the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, God will not give you more than you can handle. And I know that we read that and say, no, that's talking about trials and temptation. I understand that. But when we really look into it, God says, I am the God that cannot give you more until I know you can handle it. So if you're asking God for more, ask yourself before you go to God for more, can I handle the more that I want? You want more money, can you handle it? You want more of this, you want more possessions, you want more blessings, you want more joy. Can you handle more? Here's what I love about the master. They didn't know that the master was watching them. But while the master was there, he was looking at his three servants, and he said, and he looked at one, he said, okay, he can handle five. I see how he's working. And he looked at another servant, and go, okay, he's different, but he can handle two. I'm going to give him two. And then he sees the other guy and go, okay, he can only handle one. Can I tell you that God is watching you right now and how you are conducting yourself in this life? And when God sees you, He knows you. And because He knows you, He knows what He can give you. And God will not give you more because He knows you can't handle it. Why can't God just give it to me? Because if God gives you something too soon, too early, it will destroy you. God cannot give you more than you can handle. So when I read that, let me be as bold to tell you this. This is my sermon. I preach what I want. God does not treat us equal. And I don't know where we get this concept that God, listen, God loves us all equally. Because God is love. You can't add to His love. You can't take away from His love. Because God is love. It's a bold statement. I am that I am. God is saying, this is who I am. I'm love. God's love is equal. So God doesn't love you more. And you more, and you less, because you do this and you do that. God's love is not measured by your works. We understand that. But folks, understand that God does not treat us equal. Here's the proof. He gave 1-5, 1-2, 1-1. Is that equal? No. Because we sit in life and we look at other people and we say, well, if God did it for them, He's going to do it for me. Praise God. Are you out of your mind? Well, God did it for them. Oh, they got married, so I know I'm going to get married. Oh, they had kids, so I know God's going to give me kids. Oh, they got a promotion, so I know I'm going to get. Oh, God is good because he did it for them. Where is that in the Bible? God did it for them, and he hasn't done it for you because he knows you. So God's not going to do for you what he's done for someone else. That's a lie from the devil. Can I tell you that this week I was in the church with over 30,000 pastors? And right next to me was a pastor that's pastoring a church of 25,000. And to my left was another guy from Africa who's pastoring a church of 15. And then I have my church. Glory to God. And it showed me right there, you know what? Just because he has 30,000 members doesn't mean God's going to do it for me. And just because I have so-and-so doesn't mean God has to give him so-and-so. God will give to you according to your ability. So we have to stop this constant comparison of blessings and favor, thinking that if God did it for them, he has to do it for me. No, God doesn't have to do it for you. If God did it for them, he can do it for you. He has the power to do it for you. But that is not an indication that God has to do it for you, because God knows your ability. And if you get what you want too early, and you can't handle it, it will destroy you. Remember when Jesus told the story of the prodigal son? For those who don't know it, it's simply a son went to the father, and he wanted his inheritance. An inheritance was a promise. The inheritance was saying, listen, this is going to be yours someday. So that was his. But he went to the father, and he said, Dad, I want it now. A lot of us pray like that. A lot of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we go to God and we say, Lord, I want this. Lord, give me this. He said, give me my inheritance. How many times do we pray to God and God, oh, give me this and give me that and give me this. And God says, listen, that's going to be yours one day. That's promised to you. I have that for you. But God in his love says, I can't give it to you right now. But see, the father gave in and gave him his inheritance too early. He was too immature to handle it. And he spent everything on wild living. I don't even know what he spent it on. But the Bible says he became empty and in need, and he came back to his senses and he messed up his life. Why? Because yes, let me kill this story for you. Everyone says, oh, the father came back to him and embraced him and loved him and forgave him. Here's what the Bible doesn't say. He got his inheritance back. There are consequences to your choices. And he messed up. So maybe God has a promise for you. God has something for you. But he sees your ability right now at the moment. And he knows, based on your attitude and your character, he can't give you what he has promised because you can't handle it. But let's get this idea out of our heads that God is forced to give us all equal. No. God will give to you what he has for you when you're ready. You know what I learned about this story? Not only that God doesn't treat us equally, he gives to us according to our character and our ability. But when I read this, I realized another thing. There's always going to be someone better than you. And someone less than you. You're not always going to be the smartest one in the room. You may think you are. But God has a way of putting someone in your life better than you to humble you. So you're always going to find someone better than who you are. You're always going to find someone with a better marriage, a better job, a better spouse, a better child, a better talent, better this, better that. Okay, get over it. There's always going to be someone better than you with more ability. There's always going to be a person in your life with less than you. That's why when I read this story, I was so impressed with the person with two talents. Not five, not one. The person with the two. What are we going to name him when we preach this sermon? Give him a name. Anyone? Give him, Bob it is. Everyone welcome Bob to the sermon. All right? So I'm so impressed with Bob. Because the master, he sees number five and he sees number one. Can I call number five Stephen? So he sees Stephen. He says, Stephen, you're so good. You're so talented. I'm going to give you five, Stephen. Hey, Bob, you're awesome. Hey, I'm going to give you two. What I love about Bob is that Stephen had more. Stephen was clearly the better guy. He had more talent. He had more gifts. He had more ability. Stephen was the one that said, man, this guy is awesome. But you know what I love about Bob? Bob was the number two. Not once did he go to the master. Well, why'd you give Stephen more? You only gave me two. Why do you love him more? He didn't tell the master, that's not fair. He didn't get jealous. He didn't get envious. He didn't get bitter. He didn't get angry. So why do we get so upset when we're introduced to someone that God is giving more to and blessing more to, and you're saying, well, God, I don't understand why they have to have it. You know you do this, guys. You go through your Facebooks and all that, and you look at everyone's life, and you say, well, God, I don't understand it. Or you're walking around, and you see someone that has better looks than you, and you think, well, I don't understand it. And we get bitter, we get angry, we question God. I love this guy because Bob didn't say, well, it's not fair. And why he impresses me so much is because he didn't look at the guy with number one and get all puffy and prideful and arrogant. He didn't say, oh, you have one? That's cute. You know, the master gave me two. We don't talk about Steve. He said, no, forget. Don't look at Steve. Ignore Steve. Hey, look at me. The master gave me two. And you know that sometimes it makes you feel good when you find someone with less than you. You look at them and you make a little more money, or you have a little more of this, and you have a little more of that, and you have a little more joy, and you just have more, and you kind of look at them and say, oh man, I feel bad for them. Not Bob. Bob didn't become arrogant and prideful. Do you know how many people get prideful with what God has given them? And they just paraded around other people with less. So he didn't get jealous. He didn't get envious. Because let me tell you, that if you're not careful, when the master does for someone else what he hasn't done for you, when the master gives to someone else what he hasn't given to you, there is a temptation for envy. And envy, when you have envy in your heart, envy is simply an internal pain caused by someone else's success. That's what envy is. When you look at someone else's life, when you look at someone else's success, when you look at someone else's accomplishment, and it hurts you, and there's a little pain in you, there's a little grudge in you, that is envy. And envy in its truest form, when not dealt with, can consume your life and your joy and your peace and create this bitter, what the Bible calls bitter envy. Where you're so envious of someone's life that you're focused on, that you get bitter with God and you begin to resent your life and become discontent with your life. And you say, well, God, I don't understand why they're so successful, why they have this and they have that, and I don't know why you haven't given it to me. But then we go to the other side and we look at people that have less than us and we get a little arrogant. We get a little prideful. You might do a little bragging. Not Bob. Bob just says, "Well, I'm not Steve. And I'm not..." Did we name number one yet? Can we make it a woman? Why are we men? I'm gonna call her Michelle. I like that. "Well, God, I'm not awesome Stephen. I'm glad I'm not pathetic Michelle. I'm not Michelle, I'm not Steve, I'm Bob." And Bob says, "God, I don't understand why I didn't get what Stephen got. God, I know you've given me more than Michelle." But Bob makes up his mind and he says, "I'm just going to put this to work. I'm just going to make it work." See, let me ask you this question. Can you trust God enough and not get angry or upset when God, your master, gives someone else more than you? When God does for someone else that he hasn't done for you yet? Can you trust God enough to say, "I don't understand why you can do it for them but not me, but God, I trust you know my ability. You know what's best for me." Can you trust God enough to say, "I don't understand why you haven't given me three more like Stephen, but Lord, I'm going to make the best with what I have, knowing that you're watching me"? And are you humble enough to receive more and not become arrogant and prideful when you see someone with less? Because Bob realized what he had was given to him by the master. I don't care how smart you are, what possessions you have, where you came from, what degree you have, what accomplishments you've achieved. Everything that makes you who you are has been given to you by the grace of the master, Jesus Christ. It is not you. It is not your family. It is not your physical ability. Who you are is in Christ. God gave that to you. I think Bob realized that. Who am I to be prideful? Who am I to be arrogant? God, you gave me this. Can you trust him enough with the less? Can you be humble enough with the more? Because he's watching. The devil loves envy. The devil loves comparison. In the Bible, so many people in their life were tempted by comparison. Comparison is one of the greatest strategies Satan uses to bring a lack of joy into someone's life. Comparison is everywhere. And you're tempted to just look at someone else and look at someone else's life. And then compare it to yours. You look at someone else's ability, someone else's talent, and compare it to yours. You think about Cain and Abel in the Bible in Genesis. The Bible says that Cain looked at Abel's offering and how God was pleased with Abel. And comparison came. And God says, "Cain, sin is at your door." I believe the sin that God was talking about was envy. And he says, "You must master it. Because if you don't master envy, envy will master you." And the Bible says that Cain did not listen to God, but became more jealous. He became angry. And he killed his own brother. You think, "Oh, that could never happen to me." You don't understand how many relationships have been destroyed because of envy. The Bible talks about a woman named Hannah. It was a weird relationship because her sister-in-law, or her other, the other wife of her husband, which I don't want to get into that, but her name was Peninnah, and she was just popping out babies left and right. Boom, 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 babies here, babies. She was like, every month it felt like another baby shower this woman was planning. And Hannah couldn't even have one. And you know, and I can't blame her for being a little upset, because the other woman would go up to her and, very prideful and arrogant, she would just rub it in her face, and she got very hurt, very envious. And the Bible says that she became bitter and she started crying. You'll be surprised how many of you make yourselves miserable because of someone else's life that's not even yours. And you're looking at someone else's life, and you're looking at what they have, and you're looking at what they've accomplished, and you're looking at what they've achieved, and you think to yourself, well, why not me? And I don't understand. And you get down and depressed and discouraged. And the Bible says that her husband just looked at her and said, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with, I love how he said it, what's wrong with your face? Because envy will change your look. She was just miserable. What about Joseph? I mean, Joseph, his brothers got envious of a coat that he was wearing. Meaning, they were envious of a physical possession that he had. And they sold him to slavery, divided the family for years. Envy is dangerous when you don't master it. So, Pastor, how do I handle this comparison? Because I know that there's people with five and there's people with one. So how do I handle this? It's simple. Romans 12:15. Let me tell you, when God puts you to the test, God will put you through a test before increase. And the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Can we all just say this together? Rejoice with those who what? Rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Can we all say it? Read it to me. Let's go, read it to me. Yeah, rejoice with those who rejoice. Listen, I know this is going to make a sermon that's not a happy one. But here's the answer to envy. I think this is what Bob did, by the way. Rejoice with those who rejoice. When someone comes rejoicing over their blessing and what God's doing in their life, don't turn that rejoicing moment into mourning. When someone comes up to you, girl, I'm getting married, don't you get all mourning. Oh, I don't understand it. I'm prettier than her, and I got more than that, and I don't know why. What did he see in her? Rejoice. Put it to practice. Plan their wedding. I don't know what you got to do, but you need to rejoice, because the devil will whisper to you, well, what's up with you, girl? I mean, aren't you better? Yes, I am, devil. You're right. And he is fine. What is God thinking? You deserve that. And now you turn into mourning. You're the one with the fake smile in the wedding. You're the one mad at God because you didn't have a date for the wedding. You're the one that, the Bible said, rejoice with those who rejoice. Here's the problem. You mourn with those who rejoice, and maybe you rejoice with those who mourn. When someone comes up to that same girl 5 years later, girl, we're not working out, we got divorced. Instead of you like, yes, I knew she wasn't all good. I knew she wasn't all perfect. You know, this is a real church. This is a real message. Can we get real with ourselves? Have you ever rejoiced for someone's mourning? Especially someone you've been envious of? Because God's not going to treat you all equal. You don't sit there and get jealous and envious and question God. You rejoice with them. You help them. You're glad with them. You don't mourn for those who rejoice. Get that mourning spirit out of you when you look at someone else's rejoicing. And don't you get this idea that God loves you less because he's given them more. Am I preaching to someone this morning?
And you have to say, Lord, I'm going to rejoice with them that rejoice, and I will mourn with those who mourn. I'm not going to do it backwards. Because God is watching your attitude. You want to know why God can't give you more? Your attitude. If you would put to work what God has given you and stop complaining about it, God can actually give you more. God can actually do more in your life. I love what this guy did because Bob says, I'm going to make it work. I don't know what God is trying to tell you this morning, but maybe there's something in your life you're not happy about, you're not pleased with, that maybe you're saying, God, I wish I had more of. But God says, listen, I want to give you more, but I'm trying to test you to see how you handle this. That's what I love about our worship team. That's what I love about Frankie. Frankie knows what it is to worship with no one. She knows what it is to worship with a full band. And no matter what she's given, she worships. Can you give her a round of applause? She worships. Whatever God has given you, it's not for you to say, oh, I don't understand why I don't have a guitar. No, Frankie gets up her little self and she just sings. She makes it work. And I know that God is going to bless her with more because she's passed the test with less. But what about you? What about what God has not given you? This guy, Bob, he says, listen, I don't have time to compare myself with Stephen. I don't have time to compare myself with Michelle. I'm just going to work with what I got. I'm going to make it work. Why don't you turn to your neighbor right now, high five them, do something, say, hey, make it work. Make it work. Stop your whining, stop your mourning, and make it work. When you work it, God will give you more. God will give you more. Are you guys working it this morning? One of my favorite people in the Bible that worked it, I got to tell you, was Jacob. Jacob was a bad guy. The worst people make the best Christians. I believe that. And Jacob was a bad guy. But Jacob, one day, this is in your Bible. I'm not making this up. Jacob is walking one day. He's 75 and single, by the way. So if you're thinking you're 30 and doomed, I'm going to preach on this in a few weeks. But he was 75 and single, and God promised him a family. You do the math. So all my 30-something-year-olds, relax. God's got you. So Mr. Old Man here is walking around, and he sees a girl named Rachel. She is, the guys are going to know what I'm talking about. She is fine. Some of the married guys are like, no, I don't know what he's talking about, honey. I don't know. She was so fine, this is in your Bible, he broke down and cried. You know you're hot when you make a grown man cry. He just said, she's so hot. Oh my God. She's so beautiful. I want her. Now, if you're married, now it's the time to get points. I cried for you, baby. That's the time. But this guy just walks and he sees her and she's so hot, he begins to cry and he says, I want her. He goes up to the dad because you always go to the father first. He says, I want to marry your daughter. He's 75. He's quick to the point. I'm not living long. I got to get to it. I don't have time for these dates and stuff. I want to marry her. What do I got to do? And the guy says, listen, you want to marry my daughter? Work for me for 7 years. She's so hot. He's like, oh, done. The Bible says she was so hot, those 7 years felt like 7 days. I can't wait to see her in heaven. Oh my gosh, she must be the most, whatever. But he worked. And then one day, the day comes, he's done working, he punches out of work, and he says, oh man, I'm going to get her. He gets his tux on, this is my imagination, he gets his tux on, he's ready for the wedding, and the wedding comes, and there she comes with her veil on, and she's walking down the aisle. They get to the honeymoon. The lights are off. I know this because the Bible says that the next morning he wakes up and it's Leah, the other sister. Some of you know what those nights are like. What did I just do? That's another time. That's BC, right? Everyone say BC, Pastor. Before Christ. Don't judge me. Sorry. You know what's crazy about this in the Hebrew, when you read it in the Hebrew? The name Leah is a name that translates either sick or wild cow. You know you're ugly when your parents say, man, you look sick. She looks like a sick cow. Let's name her Leah. But he said, he looks like a sick. So he wakes up to the sick cow. Good morning. And he's like, what happened? And he runs to the father-in-law and says, listen, you lied to me. He goes, no, I didn't. You said you wanted to marry my daughter. You never said which one. So he wakes up, and now he's crying again because have you ever met someone so ugly now that they put you in tears? He wakes up next to sick cow. He goes to the father and says, there's a cow in my bed! And it looks sick! Where's the beautiful Rachel? Oh, no, no, you got to work again for 7 more years. Let me tell you why I love Jacob. The Bible says Leah had many children. Earmuffs. Which tells me he put that cow to work. He worked that cow. He got that milk. Shut off the lights. I don't know what I got to do. I don't want to go too far. But he made it work, obviously, because he did not return her, which was a biblical concept. If your wife did not make you happy, you can go to the father and say, listen, I don't want her. He did not return the cow. Let me turn this to you now. You know, like Jacob, the father may promise you something and you get something that you did not expect. Maybe you married a cow and you thought it was Rachel, because who you're dating is not who you're going to marry. They put that veil on, boys. They don't show you the truth. She knew what she was doing because she had the veil on. And that's what marriage looks like. You wake up one day like, who did I marry? That's what your life looks like. You're disappointed. God didn't give you what you thought he promised. But like Jacob, he made it work. He didn't divorce her. He didn't give up on her. He didn't throw her away. He said, you look sick, baby. You look like a cow to me. But hey, why not? And did you know that out of Leah came Jesus? In the lineage of Leah, meaning that God can still bring the best in the worst of situations to your life. And he made it work. He made it work. As I close, I want to just ask you guys this morning. You might be saying, God, I feel like Jacob. I feel like you've disappointed me. I didn't get what I worked for. I've been putting in the effort, but I got a cow, God. I just didn't get what I expected. I believe God was testing him there. Are you going to give up now that you didn't get what you wanted? Are you going to throw in the towel because it's not what you expected? Are you going to cry about it? Are you going to mourn about it? Are you going to be bitter about it? Are you going to be envious about it? Or are you going to shut up and just work it? Maybe God wants you to be married, but You can't handle being single. Maybe God wants to give you that promotion, but you can't handle more money. Maybe God wants to give you children, but you can't handle parenting. Understand that what God says no to or wait for is because at the present moment you can't handle it. So rather than praying, God, give me, why don't you start praying, Lord, prepare me? Don't just say, Lord, give me a man. No, Lord, prepare me for one. Don't just say, Lord, just give me kids. No, prepare me for some. But whatever it is you have right now in your life, make it work. Make it work and stop complaining, stop comparing, stop being bitter, and work with what God has given you right now. Work with what God has given you right now. Like Jacob, yeah, it's not what you thought, it's not what you expected, but if you stay faithful and if you stay working and you just trust me, it's going to turn out for the best. God is your master. He knows what you need, the Bible says. The master comes back home and he looks at his servants and Bob comes up to him and says, listen, you gave me two. Now, I don't know why you only gave me two. You didn't give me five. You didn't give me four. You didn't even give me three. You gave me two. And I made it work. And I turned it into four. Here it is. When the master holds the double portion of what he was given, the master looks and says, oh, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you made it work. Because you didn't complain, you didn't argue, you didn't get jealous or envious, you didn't get any, you trusted me. And you made it work. It's not over. I'm about to put you in charge of so much more that you're going to share in my happiness. And Bob realized, are you serious? You mean this time that you gave me two, it was a test? He's like, yeah. I wanted to see how you would handle disappointment. I wanted to see how you would handle when I did for someone else what I didn't do for you. I wanted to see your attitude. And you did well. The two words he used, my good and faithful, good and faithful, good and faithful. Meaning, the word good means with integrity and moral. The word faithful translates loyalty. When you put those together, they're all attitudes, they're all character traits. God cares how you do it. And when you have an attitude of gratefulness and humility and you put to work what he's given you, God says, I can give you more. So next time you want to complain about your marriage or your job or your kids or where you live or what you drive or what you have on, or you look at someone else's life and you say, why them and not me? And you compare yourself and maybe there's envy and there's bitterness. Think about Bob and say, listen, God, I don't understand why you gave me just this, but I'm just going to trust you and I'm going to make it work. And when God sees an attitude of gratefulness, gives you more. You guys received this word this morning? Okay, let's stand and I want to pray with you. Let's all stand on our feet. I'm going to pray with you tonight. With every head bow, every eye closed, as I pray over your life right now, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for anyone here who's coming to this church. And maybe, Lord, you've given them what they thought they never would have had. There are people in this church right now, God, that have been disappointed. There are people in this church right now that feel like you've let them down. Maybe someone is here this morning, Lord, and they're dealing with comparison, they're dealing with envy, they're dealing with bitterness. They just don't understand why you've given them what you've given. But I pray, Father, that you give us the heart of the second servant. The second servant, Father, that said, I will work with what you've given me. I will be faithful with what you've given me. I will be loyal to what you've given me. I will have integrity with what you've given me. And I will trust you with what you've given me. And I believe today the Lord is telling you in your heart, you need to trust me. And you need to make it work. Stop complaining, stop comparing. Because God has more for you, but he can't give it to you because you can't handle it. So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, if you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I confess that I've been bitter, I've been envious, I don't like where I'm at right now in my life, I've been disappointed, I'm not happy because I think about what I don't have versus what I wish I had more of. It's hard to confess this, let me tell you. Because no one wants to say, oh, I'm jealous or I'm envious. But if you want God to heal you of this, you have to confess it. With every head bowed, and now no one's looking at you right now, but if this is you and you say, Pastor, I have this in my life, you put your hand up right now. I want to pray over you. I'm not going to ask you to the altar. I'm not going to do anything. God bless you. I see you there, all the honest people here. Let me pray with you right now. Heavenly Father, for everyone here, I know that you are our master. You give to us based on what you see in us, our ability. There's always going to be someone better than us. There's always going to be someone less than us. But as we stand, Father, I pray for a spirit of humility in this church, a spirit of faithfulness in this church, to be loyal to the things you have given to them. God, I pray that you just allow them to work with what they got. For anyone that has been complaining about their life, their job, their marriage, their kids, for the season that they're in their life right now, I pray that you would just convict them and break them of this and help them to work it out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you give God some praise this morning?